本日はメッセージをいただきます、ジョエル・オズボーン兄弟です。改めまして、奇跡兄弟から兄弟をご紹介させていただきたいと思います。おはようございます。改めてご紹介させていただきます、ジョエル・オズボーン兄弟ですね。今日仙台の、教会から、来てくださっています。LHT で、として夏の間で、ヨーク大学ですねの方から、来てくださって、その後に2002年からフルタイムで仙台の教会、そして八戸と盛岡もひっくるめてね、東北の教会を見てくださっておられる兄弟です。で今日は実習生のサーサさん、サーサさんちょっと手を挙げていただきます。はい、ね、サーサさんも一緒に来てくださいました。I want to introduce Joel Osborne. Most of you may know him, but he's a brother of John Osborne. And he came to Japan when he was a York College student as a LST. And then he started to be a full-time minister of Sendai Church since 2002. And he's been a minister for Sendai Church, Morioka, and Hachinohe churches. And we want to welcome you. We're privileged to have you as a speaker tonight.
では拍手を持ってお迎えしましょう。ジョエル兄弟です。
僕が終わったらまた拍手するかどうか分からないから前にやった方がいいかもしれない。恵みの中に生きている愛する兄弟姉妹、おはようございます。Good morning to all of you who are living in the grace of Christ and your beloved brothers and sisters. 今朝、さっき読んだの新明記の方からもう一つの箇所を読みたいと思います。So we're going to read another passage from what was just read. で、それは第二テモテの手紙一章の三節から七節。It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. So we'll be going there in a minute, but first I'm going to share a story. I'm going to do the first half in Japanese, and then take a break and do that again in English, and then the second half. So you can read that passage and kind of be thinking about it, and I'll come back to you. じゃあまずは、ちょっと一つの人の話をそこから始めたいと思います。でこの人は女性の方で、僕より年配の人で、この方はすごく素敵なお母さんで、彼女は4人の子供がいて、で彼女はもともと先生として働いた、その子供ができてから自分の仕事を辞めて、その子供の育ちと旦那さんのサポートとして一緒に協力してその子供たちを育てた。彼女は何よりもイエス様を愛してる。彼女の反応を通してそれも見えるし、彼女の奉仕を通してそれも見えます。彼女は完全な人ではない、よく間違いをしている、でも失敗しながらその愛を持って奉仕をしています。よくその人の心を見ると、例えばこのような集まりの後に必ず毎週うちに戻ったら誰かを呼んで一緒にその昼ご飯を食べて、でほとんどその、パイかケーキ、そのデザートを作って、でもそれが足りなくなる、自分の旦那さんにあげて、お客さんにもあげて、子供たちにあげて、もうないところで自分はその デザート作ったのに、楽しみにしたのに自分が食べなかったような人です。で、それはうちのお母さん。その人、そのお母さんによって私は最初に弟子にされた。彼女の影響によって、彼女の信仰によって私も自分の信仰についてできた。だから誰よりもお母さん、お父さん、この二人の存在に大感謝思ってます。私たちの人生の中に弟子にされた存在も弟子にする存在も必要なと僕が最近気づきました。パウロがガメリエルという偉い先生からその弟子されたことがあって、その後イエス様から、あの直接弟子になるわけじゃなかったけど、そのイエスによって弟子にされた。で、パウロの弟子はティモテ。だからまずその弟子をされて、それから弟子にしたことが、その聖書の話、その聖書の流れによっても私たちがそれを見えます。で、私たちもその二つの関係、その二つの存在が必要と思います。僕の高校生の時にある伝道者が言って、もし教会の皆さんがこれは資格と言ったら、あの方は必ずこれは丸というような人、いつもみんなと違う考え方で全部を受け入れてみて、すごく変な人だから、彼がパプアニューギニアで宣教師として働いてた、すごい賑やかな人で、僕もその青年の時に、この愛されてる教会の皆さんはもしかして資格、これは資格と言ったら、僕が絶対これは丸という人だから、彼がそれを見て、僕は彼に弟子された。で、彼にもすごく感謝しています。彼の影響によって僕は何よりも自分の意思よりも神様の意思を探しに行って、ずっと神の御声を聞こえるまでこのままに待ってて、で、神様の御声が聞こえるときに、じゃあこれから行こうとした。そのデイビッド先生によって、この聖霊様の教え、あとは祈りについてたくさん学ぶことができた。毎日その祈りの生活を大事にすることが彼によって学ばれました。大学生の時にもその弟子にされた存在何人がいて、今でもその関係が続けている。まあ、今僕は日本にいるから、その人たちとあまり会えないけど、 E メールでも電話でも、で、日本の中でもその新しい 私のパウロみたいな人を探して一緒に相談しているところです。私もそのテモテの何人がいます。で、後でその話をするんだけど、今そのテモテの第2章3節から7節を読みたいと思います。第2テモテの手紙1章の3節から7節読みます。私は夜昼祈りの中であなたのことを絶えず思い起こしては、先祖以来清い良心を持って仕えている神のに感謝しています。私はあなたの涙を覚えているので、あなたに会えて喜びに満たされて満たされたいと願っています。私はあなたの純粋な信仰を思い起こしています。そのような信仰は最初あなたの祖母ロイツとあなたの母ユニケのうちに宿ったものですが、それがあなたのうちにも宿っていることを私は確信しています。ですから私はあなたに注意したいのです。私の安心をもってあなたのうちに与えられた神の賜物を再び燃え立たせてください。神が私たちに与えてくださったものは臆病の霊ではなく、力と愛と慎みとの霊です。この箇所を読むと、パウロがただテモテに出会って、で、あ、すごくいい青年だなだけじゃなく、そのなんていう意図的な関係を頑張って立てた。どれほどテモテのことを分かるのをこの箇所でも見える。テモテの中にあるその信仰がおばあちゃんからお母さんからテモテにその信仰を持つの流れも分かっていたし、テモテ自身のその親密なところまで分かっていた。で、パウロがその関係をできる時からその影響、その教えが始まりました。で、今から今まで言ったことを英語で言うんだけど、この3つの質問を、私がその英語を話しながらこの3つの質問をちょっと考えてみてください。で、その1つ目は、誰があなたに弟子された人、その人は誰ですか？誰があなたを弟子された人、それは誰でしょうか？2番目は、今弟子される人は誰でしょうか？で、3番目は、今あなたは誰に弟子にする人、その方は誰でしょうか？繰り返して、その3つの質問は、前から考えたらその存在は誰でしたか、今その弟子される人は誰でしょうか、で、今から あなたがその誰かに弟子する、その人は誰ですか。神様は誰を連れて行っているのか、あなたの人生の中に。その3つをまず考えてください。
I want to start by telling you a story. And the story is about this woman who is a mother. She has 4 children. She's a really, really wonderful, wonderful lady. She has a lot of things about her that are not wonderful, too. But while she makes mistakes, she continues to be faithful, as a woman, loving God. She loves Jesus passionately.She was originally a teacher. She gave up teaching because she started to have children, and she wanted to work full-time with her husband in raising their kids and providing a good home for their kids and passing on that faith from them to their children. This woman, usually she would come to something like this, some kind of worship or some other kind ofgathering, and almost always there was a guest sitting around the table after this. Whoever had come as a guest here was usually later in their home eating with them. She would prepare a lot of good food, and usually it ended with a pie. Sometimes a cake, but usually pie was the dessert of choice in this lady's house.And almost always she would cut that pie, and she'd give a piece to her guest, she'd give a piece to her husband, she'd give a piece to her kids. And when she gave out all the pieces, there was nothing left. Even though she took a lot of time to prepare that with love, she didn't get to enjoy the thing that she ate. But she enjoyed watching the other people enjoy what she had made. And that woman is my mom.And it was because of her, that I have the faith that I do. I was first discipled by my mother and by my father, by their examples, by their faith, by what they gave to me. So I'm very thankful for them. When I got into high school, I ran into a guy who had been a missionary in Papua New Guinea. So he was really wild and really weird.And that fit with me really well, because he thought differently from everybody else, and I tried my best to think differently from everybody else too. So he was one of the only people that could kind of round me in and get me to kind of stay with the group. But he was a good man. And because of David Locke, I learned to seek for God's will in my life.Instead of my own will, waiting upon God, listening for His voice, seeking what God was trying to tell me, and going from there into serving God. The second thing he taught me about the Holy Spirit. He taught me about the Holy Spirit being active in my life. And the third thing that he taught me about prayer. He taught me about the importance of my prayer life and how it's a relationship. He modeled that. We experienced it together. And now I live that because of him. There were other people in university that God brought into my life to help disciple me as well. And I still stay in contact with some of them. God has also brought people in Japan, especially Japanese people, into my life to help disciple me and teach me.But I realized with Paul was discipled, and at the same time, Paul was also discipling. So he always had that person in his life. He had his own Paul, which was probably Gamaliel, and then he also had a Timothy in his life. And I'm going to read this passage from 2 Timothy chapter 1. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience.As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your mother, your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice. and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Paul was, he intimately knew Timothy. He took the time to know Timothy. He knew Timothy's faith heritage. Obviously, Paul knew Lois, and he knew Eunice in some way, whether that was through Timothy telling them or whether that was meeting them. He knew them. He knew his heritage of faith. He also knew them enough to know what the characteristic of their faith was like and how Timothy was showing that in his own faith. And he got to know Timothy intimately. The way that he's writing to Timothy here is not like somebody that you have met for the first time. It's an intimate type of writing. And so Paul really took the time to know the core of who Timothy is before he begins that process of trying to disciple Timothy. And I've realized that we need a Paul in our lives, and we need a Timothy in our lives. It's important for us to have both of those people. It's an intentional relationship. You know, Paul doesn't just say, oh, Timothy, he's a cool young guy, and, you know, I think he's going to do a lot of great things for the Lord. He goes beyond that. He's very intentional in building that relationship with him. And we need to develop those kinds of relationships, too. So I'm going to go back into Japanese, and while I'm doing that, I want you to not check out, but think about these three questions while I go back into Japanese. The first question is, who has discipled you? In your past, who is the person that helped disciple you to faith? Secondly, who is discipling you now? Because it's not just about having somebody in your past. You need somebody now in your life who is also discipling you. And then thirdly, who are you discipling? Or who is it that God is bringing into your life for you to disciple, if you haven't started that yet? So those three questions: who has discipled you, who is discipling you, and who are you discipling? じゃあ皆さん、この新明記の6章の1節から9節をまた戻りましょう。で、最近あのリッチ・リト先生が日本に来て、その弟子訓練に関する話をその講師をやってくださって、残念ながら僕はそのクラスに参加できなかった。あのその時に東北地区のキリストの教会があの集まって岩手県で、で串田先生と家族というテーマで、家族の伝道、家族の中にその弟子訓練のお話を一緒に勉強しましたが、そのリチルド先生が教えてくれたことと、あと今日はその子供たちを祝福するためにその両方のことを考えて、じゃあ祈りながら神様は今日私たちに何を教えたいかという祈りをずっと続けて、この新明記の6章の1節から9節までの聖書の箇所まで導かれた。この新明記の6章の中にモーセがそのイスラエル人にこれを書きました。だからその祖父はアブラハム、イサク、ヨセフ、ヤコブ、その祖父たち、その先祖からいただいた信仰について、その神様の信仰をいただいて、モーセがただ いただく、受け入れ、受け入れることだけじゃなく、また自分の子供たち、自分の孫たちにもその教えを続けないといけない。それは日本でなかなか大変なことでしょう。でも私たちはまだ希望があると信じています。聞きなさい、イスラエル。あとは聞きなさい、水戸教会の皆さん。主は私たちの神、主はただ一人である。心を尽くし、精神を尽くし、力を尽くして、あなたの神、主を愛しなさい。私が今日あなたに命じるこれらの言葉をあなたの心に刻みなさい。これをあなたの子供たちによく教え込みなさい。あなたが家に座っている時も、道を歩く時にも、寝る時も、起きる時も、これを唱えなさい。これは印としてあなたの手に結びつけ、起床として額の上に置きなさい。これをあなたの家の紋帳と門に書き記しなさい。他の箇所でヨーヨー限りなく、そのヨーヨーという言葉があって、何世代から何世代まで、日本でよくその歴史を大事にする方々で、私たちもこの信仰の歴史を大事にしましょう。何世代から何世代までに、世から世まで続きましょう。この7節の中に、これをあなたの子供たちによく教え込みなさい。またその意図的な話に戻るんだけど、ここでモーセがそのイスラエル人に教えたのは、やっぱり意図的な方法で自分の子供たちに教えなきゃいけない。まあ自分の家族の例として考えたら、私たちがうちから教会ビルまでは、だいたい車で20分ぐらいがかかった一方で、で帰るときにはお母さんは必ず今日その日曜学校で何を学んだか、今日の説教はどういう話かということを聞いた。で素直に言ったら、僕はあんまり説教は興味なかった。いつも絵を描いたりとか、あの今日の昼ごはんは何を食べましょうかとか、それをずっと考えた。だからお母さんがそれをあの分かった気がするから、その質問を聞いたかもしれない。だけどその霊的な会話、その両親と子供たちの間の霊的な会話を自然にやりました。で何回も何回もそれを繰り返して、それは僕にとって自然なことになった。だからその霊的な話は教会堂の中だけじゃなくて、車の中でもその信仰のことを話して、食べながらその 話も続いて、寝る前にその話もやったし、起きる時にもその話があって、まあ、たまにお母さんがうるさくまで言ってることも感じたかもしれないけど、やっぱりお母さんがわざとその人生の中に自然になるためにそれをやったと僕が思います。そのユダヤ人がその御言葉をシンボルとしてその郵便に結びつけた。御言葉もここで書いて、この額でその上に起きたことも今でもそういうやり方の人もいるんですが、日本の中でどういうふうにそのシンボルとして神様の存在、神様の御言葉を気づくことができますか。私の友達は彼女のアパートに行くと、その毎朝やっぱり女性だからずっと鏡の前で立てるわけ、メイクをするとか髪の毛をきれいにするとか。でもその鏡の周りはずっとその御言葉が書いてある。だからメイクをするときにもその神様は私を愛している言葉、神様は私たちの心を見ている御言葉とかを覚えるようにその鏡に書いてある。まあ皆さんのやり方がわからない。私はよく芸術とかそれが好きだから、言葉よりもそのシンボルがすごく大事なこと。だからまあ十字架いくつあるところはそれを見たらただお素敵な飾りだな と思わなくて、それによって私は恵みを与えてくれましたという思いで、また御言葉が自分の中、自分の頭、自分の心に残っています。あとその「あなたが家に座っている時、道を歩く時も寝る時も起きる時も、これを唱えなさい」。さっきお母さんの例をとしてそれを使って、でこの9節に、これをあなたの家の門中と門に書き記しなさい。去年私はずっと1年間東南アジアに行って、でシンガポールとタイに時間を過ごして、でシンガポールのある中国系のメソディスト教会に行ってた。でその教会で、例えばこのなんていう日本語で柱、その柱にその中国語でその言葉、神様の御言葉が書いてある。で一番前にその牧師さんも愛という漢字を書いて、すごく中国っぽく漢字中国っぽく楽しいね、中国っぽく漢字で、だからその中国系の人たちがそこに入ったら、ああそれが自然にそれを感じている、うん。例えばマレーシアのマラカに行ったら、ずっとその道路を通るとその人たちのドアにその中国のことわざがドアに書いてある。 その漢字でずっと書いて、で、ある人はクリスチャン、聖書の言葉を漢字で書いてある。だから日本でもそういうような例があるはず。何かを見つけて同じようにそれができるかなと僕が思います。この旧約聖書の話は、ただ旧約聖書の話だけじゃなくて、今の、ね、日本で私たちがそのイエスの弟子として生きていくためにそれがあるはずだなと私は思います。でもそれは何かがわからないので、日本人の皆さん教えてください、後で。で、今考えたらみんなこの教会の中にみんなはそれぞれの立場に入っています。若い人もいるし、体はそんなに若くはないけど心が若い人もいると思います。先生を通して働いている人、お母さん、お父さんの役割、おじいちゃん、おばあちゃん、僕のおじいちゃん大好きな人だった、すごく大事な人だった、僕にとって。おじいちゃん、おばあちゃん、もしかしてこの教会の中、ちっちゃな子が大好きな人、みんなはそれぞれの立場に入って、で、さっきその3つの質問にまた戻ると、誰があなたを弟子にすること、その人は誰でしょうか。あと、今でも、で、今からあなたは誰を弟子にすること、それは誰でしょうか。みんなは少なくても一人がいると思います。その人は誰でしょう。で、今からその意図的な関係はどういうふうに作ることができますか、ということをちょっと考えてみてください。 OK、Sorry, for those of you who have been thinking about your question, I don't know if you have an answer yet, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. I'm not going to read that passage because it's already been read, but one of the things that I want to highlight to you in that passage is the emphasis from generation to generation. It's something that you receive from your ancestors, and it's something that you pass on to your children and to your grandchildren. You know, when Israel, they think about their ancestors, they're thinking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Japan is a nation. One of the things that I said to the Japanese people was that Japan is a nation that really values their heritage and their history, and they honor that. And we also have a faith heritage and history for us to honor and to carry on. And it's not just for us to be receivers of that, but to pass that on to other generations. And the only way that we can do that is by being intentional in those relationships. If you look at this, these words that Moses says to the Israelites, he says, impress them upon your children. Sometimes my mother was annoying. She did that so much. You know, it was like when we were coming home from our time of worship, you know, I knew she was going to ask, what did you study in Sunday school? And I knew she was going to say, what was the sermon about? And what did you learn from it? You know, and I knew that I was not listening to the sermon. I knew that I was thinking about what I was going to be eating for lunch and whatever friend I was bringing home from church that day, what we were going to do that afternoon. That's what I was thinking about. And you know, how quickly is this guy going to shut up, like maybe some of you are thinking right now, so that we can get home and eat our lunch and get going with life. That's what I was thinking about. But my mother knew that, and she purposefully would ask me those questions to try and create faith in my life. She talked about it in the morning when we woke up. She talked about it at night before I went to bed. We would always pray together, and she would always read something. Actually, my father was the one that did that more than my mom. He did the bedtime prayer and singing and some kind of devotional time with us. So you can see that going on here in this scripture. That's an example. So I don't know what your example is for how you have received it. But I want you to think about that, because you can learn in passing that on to somebody else. They use, you know, Moses says, tie it to your wrists, you know, write it on your forehead. Even some of the most hardcore Jews will still do that. You know, they have their phylacteries that they'll write words of scripture on, and they put it in a little box and they tie it to their head, and they have something that they tie to their wrist. Okay, well, now let's think about our own examples as like symbols. Like my friend Sabrina, she has scriptures all over her mirror, okay? And so when she's getting ready in the morning, she's reading those scriptures while she's putting on her makeup, while she's doing her hair. You know, all the things that girls do that guys don't. And, you know, when she opens up her cupboards, you know, to get the cereal out, you open up, and on the inside of the cupboard, there's something written there, too. So as she's, you know, and they're all specific things. You know, things about, like, feeding on the Word of God. So as she's reaching for the food, she's remembering she has to feed on the Word of God, too. That's something that she does. So what is it for you that can be your symbols, that can be meaningful? You know, what can you create in your life so that you are being reminded of the faith that you have been given and the faith that you're being asked to pass on to somebody else? It also talks about writing on the door frames and gates, and I gave the example. This last year I lived in Singapore and Thailand. And when I was there, I went to this Chinese Methodist church in Singapore, because I was going to look at different examples of Asian Christianity. And there, they had poles at their church like this one. And on them, they had scriptures written in Chinese. And we went in there, and the Chinese Singaporeans that I were with were like, this feels so familiar. This feels so normal. This feels so much like home to me. And that was like in their building. And the pastor had written the Chinese character for love that he had up at the front. And when we went to Malaysia, to the city of Malacca, which has a lot of significance in Japanese mission history too. But when we went to that city, we walk around along the little streets, and all of the people of Chinese heritage, they have written on their doors some kind of like Chinese proverbs, or this is what we want to value. This is what our home will be like. And they, you know, they can summarize it in that one Chinese character. So it's like written there. And there were even a few Christian ones that have, you know, something written. At least I think they were Christian. They seemed very Christian. They had some scripture words written there. So I'm challenging the Japanese Christians here to think about how can their faith be expressed similarly. But even those of you who are not Japanese, but you're living in Japan, there are still ways that you can share, not only from your culture, but you can also be learning about Japanese culture and thinking about ideas, Japanese ways to express faith. Be creative. You know, just let your mind, let your heart go with that and try to imagine what are ways that you could express in a meaningful way. Kind of like, you know, writing like that. But one of the things that I wanted to say is all of you are, there's a lot of people in this room and everybody's in a different situation. You know, there's some young people, there's some older people, there are people who are parents, there are people who are grandparents, there are people who have not gotten married yet and haven't had children, there are people who are teachers. Most of you who are here that are primarily English speaking, most of you are in some kind of role of teaching. That's why you're here. And so you have some unique opportunities as you go into your schools in your role as a teacher. And it's time for us to grow up in our faith. It's time for us to continue to be discipled and to disciple other people. I was 24 when I moved to Japan. I'm not 24 anymore, haha. But I was 24 when I moved to Japan, and I was dumb, and I made a lot of mistakes, and the Japanese people were incredibly gracious and loved me anyways and welcomed me into this community and into this family. So it's not impossible for you to, as you make mistakes, continue to keep pressing forward in relationships. And that's the word that I want, as you're driving away today, that's the word I want you to have burned in your mind, is intentional. Intentional relationships. Having an intentional relationship where you have somebody that is discipling you. And you have an intentional relationship where you are discipling somebody else. We want, going back to those three questions, who has discipled you, who is discipling you, and who are you discipling? If you don't have somebody discipling you, then you need to seek that person. And if you do not have somebody that you are discipling, it's because your eyes are not open. Because everybody has at least one person that God has brought into their life. At least one. I want to close, I'm going to close with this story and then I'm going to say it in Japanese. I just want to use this as an example. There's a guy, his name is Gaku. Some of you may have met him. He's in Sendai. He came to Sendai to go to Tohoku University. He ended up graduating with a master's in engineering. Tohoku is one of the top five universities. I have no idea why God brought me there, because the guy is, he knows more than I'll ever, I mean, he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. And, you know, he's got like way more education. He totally blows me out of the water as far as education goes. But he came to the church to do LST. And after doing LST for a couple of years, we started to study the Bible together. And after that, then he came to Cambodia with me, with a group of the young people that we led to Cambodia. And his life was changed through his time in Cambodia. And he will tell you now that a part of his faith, his the main part of his faith, was coming and being a part of the young people's thing in Cambodia, because he really experienced the passion of God in those moments. And living, even though he wasn't a Christian, he was living Jesus' disciple life in that time. After he came back from Cambodia, he sent me a K-tai. He said, "This is a crazy question, but can I move in with you? I'll keep my apartment, but can I live with you?" And I was like, okay, how long and why? And he said, "I don't know how long, and the why is because you keep talking about this being a relationship. And so the only way that I can do it is if I move in and live with you and God. And if I can live with you and God, then I can see what it's like to have a relationship with God." So I said, okay. So he moved in and he lived with us. And in September, I was gone for a year, and then I came back and he moved in again. And in September, you know, he made the decision that he wants to live his life from now as a disciple of Jesus. You know, and so we celebrate that. And now comes the journey of continuing discipleship. We're doing something called LTG, which I can tell you about later, Life Transformation Groups. But it's a time where we confess our sin to each other. And the hardest thing for me to do is to confess my sin to somebody that I'm trying to disciple. But it is the best thing that has ever happened for me. And we are reading scripture together. And then we are picking six people that we are praying specifically for them, for their salvation. One is his mom. Another one is a guy named Yoshinori, who left. And Sasha and Gaku and I went and spent some time with them. And one of the reasons why we went to go see him down in Shizuoka, you know, like 8 hours away from where we live, is because Gaku wants to tell him face to face, this is how Jesus is changing my life. And so good, you got to do it too. So that's a part of this discipleship process. So I'm praying that Gaku is going to disciple many people. Right now he's working as a Juku teacher, and so we're talking about how can he disciple the students in his Juku that he is meeting with right now. Because in the Juku, of course, they're talking not just about what they're studying, but also about a lot of life things too. So please pray for Gaku, and please start thinking about who is the Gaku in your life that you have right here, either in Mito Church or in your school or wherever you are in your life. Who will your Gaku be? じゃあ、あの最後にあの一つもう一つのあの物語を分かち合いたいと思います。Is Gaku 大杉Gaku があの高崎群馬県の高崎の出身で。あの東北大に入学するために仙台に来ました。あの 6、7年間前に仙台に来て、でまず彼が LST のためにその Let's Start Talking のためにあのうちの教会に来て、で2年間それをそのプログラムに入ってから一緒にその聖書の勉強が始まりました。でずっと時間を過ごして本当に頑張ってできるだけ自分の時間を無視して彼とその時間を過ごすために一緒に生活をして、でそのある時にそのカンボジアにある青年たちの集まりで、そのストリートキッズのための講師があって、で学部も一緒に3回とも一緒に行ったわけで、この教会もあの皆川エリサちゃんをサポートして、彼女がそのキャンプに2回いたことありますが、そのガク君がその3つのキャンプに参加してまだクリスチャンじゃない時にのに、その実際にイエスの弟子として24時間その信仰生活に生きていることが体験することがあったということによって、神様が彼を神様のもとに導かれた。で、ガク君がその1回目から戻ってきて、僕の携帯メールにあのちょっと変な質問ですが、あのジュエルと一緒に暮らしてみたい、いいですか。で僕はあ、いいですよ。だけど、あの、どれぐらい一緒に暮らすのか。で、なぜそれをやりたいのかと聞いて、彼がまた、あの、その返事が戻って、ずっと僕が聞いたのは、その、神様はただ考え方じゃなくて、それは本当に関係として考えなきゃいけない。関係として体験しなきゃいけないことで、ジョエルと神様と一緒に暮らしてみたら、それが体験することができるかなと思った。で、彼があの8ヶ月ずっと一緒に住んでいて、で、その後僕はまあ1年間、日本から離れて、また戻ってから彼がまたあのサーシャと僕と3人でその暮らしが始まりましたが、この間の 9月に彼が洗礼を受けて、で今から弟子としての生活が生きているところ。で私たちがあの毎週2人で罪を告白し、 聖書を読む祈りを続けています。で、素直に言ったら自分の罪をその弟子にする人に告白するのはすごく大変なことと思うんだけど、それは僕にとしてすごく勉強になっていることで、すごく自分が成長できることも気づきました。で、その祈りの中に6人のために、その6人のために救いを得るために、その6人のために祈っている。で、1人は学君のお母さんのために祈っている。でも1人は吉典君という学生時代の友達で、吉典君が東北大から卒業してから裾野に移動して、で今カノンで働いている。で、この間サーシャとガクと僕が先週吉典君を会いに行って、でなぜかというと、ガク君がその祈りを通して神様が引っ張っていて、で吉典君に直接なぜクリスチャンになっている、なぜイエス様の弟子になりたいことを分かち合いたいし、どういうふうに自分の人生が変わっていることも証しとして直接顔と顔でしたいから、私たち3人が吉典君のうちに行ってた。で、今から学君は誰か、まあ、それは吉典君かな、もしかしてその19、今学君がその19の先生として働いているんですけど、その19の生徒とやっぱり人生、その科学と数学を勉強しながら、勉強するよりも人生の話もやってるから、学君はどういうふうにその信仰を表すか、どういうふうにその19の生に弟子をすることはどういうふうにすればいいか今から祈っています。でもそれを目指して臨んでいます。で、さっきその第二手もてからその三つの質問を聞いた。ここから離れて帰るときに、この一等的な関係、その言葉が自分の中に残したらそれだけでも嬉しい。誰があなたを弟子にする、で、あなたが誰を弟子にする、その2つの存在、その2人がいなかったら、わざと探してみた方がいいと思いますが、わざとその意図的な関係を持つ、気づくことが必要と思います。で、最後にエペソ人への手紙、Ephesians chapter 3. I'm closing with this. で、これはパウロがエペソ人の教会に書いた祈り。だけど、私もその説教するときにわざと毎回その教会の上に祝福としてこの祈りをしたいと思います。Every time I close, a sermon, I always like to pray this blessing, Paul's blessing on the Ephesian church. And I really believe in the power of these words of this prayer, that God can bless the people of that church. And so I want to close by praying the words of this prayer over you. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I'll read it first in English and then in Japanese. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness in God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. こういうわけで、私は膝を固めて、天上と地上で家族と呼ばれるすべての者の名の元である父の前に祈ります。どうか父がその栄光の豊かさに従い、御霊により力を持ってあなた方の内なる人を強くしてくださいますように。こうしてキリストがあなた方の信仰によってあなた方の心の内に住んでいてくださいますように、また愛に根ざし愛に基礎を置いているあなた方が、すべての生徒とともに、その広さ、長さ、高さ、深さがどれほどであるかを理解する力を持つようになり、人知をはるかに超えたキリストの愛を知ることができますように、こうして神が自身の満ち満ちた様にまであなた方が満たされますように、どうか私たちのうちに働く力によって、私たちの願うところ、思うところのすべてを超えて豊かに施すことができる方に、教会により、またキリストイエスにより栄光が永遠にわたってとこしえまでありますように。